We know you could have been somewhere else. We understand that. But you made the right choice. You came somewhere where you can get your soul fed, your heart healed, and things worked out with the Lord. You know, I want to make mention of something as we start tonight. We have a few newer people here. I told this to someone last Wednesday night. This is not a non-denominational church. This is an inter-denominational church. Non-denomination emulates that we are against denominations, and nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, I told that person, you know, just go wherever you're happy, because the word says, Paul told the Corinthian church, now God himself, not just God, but God himself has placed each person in the church as it pleases him. You're not here because we all get along together or because we do. You're here because God put you here to accomplish several things. First of all, so that you and your family get the best and so that you have an opportunity to serve here. And anybody that wants to can serve. This is a conserve. This is an inter-denominational church. And we've had people like Toni Stevens back there. She's been here since we were on the square. And she just said to me one day, she listened, I believe it was a Sunday morning, she said, my name is Toni, and you're my new pastor. And I remember that, and she's been faithful ever since. We've seen God perform miracles for Toni. I think it was three times, please correct me, don't let me get off on a preacher's blah, blah. I think three times you were told that you had to have everything removed that would ever make a baby or some of those things. Was it three times, Toni? At least three times. She was sitting right in this section. This has been her section where she lies. And we prayed with her. And then one day I got a call. And in that call, she said, well, Pastor, she said, I know why I've been so mean to Red. I just found out I'm pregnant. She was told she couldn't get pregnant no more. Things was infected and corrupted so bad that they had to remove everything. Well, they never did remove it till we got little tiny Tim. So praise God. And hasn't he been a blessing, Mom? Amen. This is a place where we believe in miracles. I have the first roots I have as Catholic when I was a child growing up in Chicago. And one day, the priest would tell me to put my hand out, and he would hit me with a big old, I think it was a yardstick. And one day, he said, put your hand out. I said, no. I said, you put your hand out. I was 6 years old. I thought I was bigger. Well, that was the end of my Catholicism. But then when I was around 11, my mother baptized me in the local, I was like an altar boy or something, in a Methodist church. They did the Methodist thing to me. It didn't bother me. But you know, when Jesus came into my heart in the summer of 1971, 1765 Cathay Drive on the east side of San Jose, California, at my mother's kitchen table, something happened inside of me. It wasn't just religion. It wasn't denomination or non-denomination. It was Jesus came into my heart. And ever since then, I've just been a Jesus person. And I wake up in the morning, and before I'm anything else, I wear many hats, as do you. I'm a son of God. I'm a blood-bought son of God. That's my highest claim in this life. That's what I cherish most. That's what I can take into the next life. And I just wanted you to know that. Is there anything that any of you would like to ask about our church? I think, Jen, did you have some Catholic roots back when? Yeah.
I was baptized Catholic. And God brought us here to this church. Yeah. And
that's why we mentioned that.
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you something in defense of all churches. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, we're just trying to do the best we can. But I think one thing we should try to do is just try to make everybody feel welcome, even if you don't like them. Just try to make them feel welcome anyway. And that's why, you know, we gave Sherry a Catholic baptism the other day at the pool.
Praise the Lord.
And see, it doesn't matter. And if you've been baptized and you're satisfied with your baptism, we're satisfied with it. Sorry, we don't have these church creeds and stuff. Some people have to memorize their church creed. I was up to be a pastor in Logan County many years ago, and they had their own church creed. And they said, we have a church for you. We just want you in writing to denounce the Holy Spirit and denounce speaking in tongues. I said, well, I can't do that. I'm sorry. There was no problem. They're still going on. We're still going on. But we just love you. We love every one of you. You're wonderful. You're welcome. And everybody can have an off day. And so if we seem like we don't want you here, we do want you here. Look at that little fella. Poor Kaylee. You might want to remember her. She had a splitting headache. And Billy and I just stepped in there and prayed with her. But does anybody else want to say something quickly tonight before we go to the Word? One thing, go ahead.
No, just that this is the first time that we've ever been in church that we actually understand, you know, the interpretation of what God's Word said. Because I went to church a lot as a small child. And in Catholic church, as you know, you stand up and sit down, stand up and sit down, sing all the songs, and there was no meaning behind what
in
we
fact,
were doing.
In fact, when you were a child,
church.
There's probably a good chance the services were in Latin.
They
Is that
were.
True? Yeah. In they California?
Were. Yeah, yeah, they were in Latin. And so we stood in church but didn't understand a single thing that they meant. But, you know, we always believed in God and, you know, believed that things happened for, you know, that he placed us there, some, you know, whatever happens, that it happened for a reason.
Some of my dearest friends and brothers and sisters in Logan County, we've been here for many years now, are Catholic folks, and we love them. We just love them. We have nothing against anybody. We're aware that certain churches are really struggling now. We're praying for them. Does anybody else want to say something so that we can? All right, Sherry, Millie, Kelly, maybe you could do it, Pastor Kel.
I've been water baptized before at the bless hole before.
Yeah.
But I just felt it was weighing heavy on my heart to be baptized because I've strayed from God and I've came back to God and I've strayed for God and I struggled with how I was going to be baptized because I knew I couldn't get down in that pool. I knew I couldn't get into a baptismal. I couldn't get down. I couldn't get up. And I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and prayed about it. And when Brother Angelo said, well, I can douse you with a 5-gallon bucket, I'm thinking, praise the Lord.
And then Pastor Kay said this, Dad, we can't do that. I've got something a little bit more, you know, you don't take a 5-gallon bucket to a water baptism.
Hey, I feel as
the thing I liked about it, it was new.
When I went down into that water when I was 16 years old. I
look back at the pictures of you and your water baptism, and your heart was in it. You had your hand up. Your heart was in it. And if I understand correctly, Lindsay is doing pretty good.
She is doing really good. She is doing really good.
You tell her we love her. And some of you gals might want to just...
And then my Bill, he's a full-blooded Catholic.
Yeah. Well,
he's a very religious. He lives what he's brought up to believe, you know. You know, he just... I've been with him for 31 years, and I know one Saturday that he's missed church. One Saturday in 31 years. And that's because he couldn't walk.
Well,
but,
we love him.
That's what I said. I mean, I don't believe like Bill does.
Jesus
he
said
believe
this.
Like I do, but we all know there's God. You know, that's the bottom line.
Jesus asked the question to mankind. See, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And everybody, it all belongs to God. So God has a say-so in this. And at the end of our days, we'll see that. He's got a big say-so. But Jesus said this, and I have to consider it because I could be judgmental. Jesus said, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master does he stand and fall. And we have decided here in the church leadership, we decide every day we're here to try to bless you and try to not avoid any kind of conflicts if we can. Now listen, I'm a very conflicting person. If I've offended you in the last 3 minutes or 3 years, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. And if you need money or anything else, if you want to hit me, we'll try to make it up to you one way or another. I'm glad that Kelly's dousing her phone. Could you do that? I'm going to get the word to you in just a minute. Are you through saying everything you want to say? All right. Give the Lord a hand, everybody. And Millie, while you're going to your seat, come on up here. Let me give you a big smoocheroni. And just pray. Pray for the words right now. And we'll give these people a piece of the word.
Father, we just thank you for this day, Father. And we thank you for this opportunity, Father. Each person that's here today purposed in their heart to come to church to honor you in this way. And we just praise you, Father. We pray for the word that's going to go forth, that we receive it, Father. Not only that we receive it, Father, that we put it into action. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 25. If it's already up on the... Yes. Now that, and we need it in the King James translation, not the NIVA. I bet you that's something new and wonderful. But I really want the King James, buddy, if that can be done. If not, just keep leaving it up there and I'll just put it... There it is. All right. Now, I told you the wrong verse. It's Genesis chapter 1, starting, I think, at verse 25. Can we do that? Genesis 1. We're taking it to the beginning of the Bible. We're taking to where this all started out. Genesis 1. We're going to read verses 25 through 28. And once again, we're in the King James in verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth, I've known a few creeps in my life, upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And then the word says this, and God said, let us. See, when we go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's called the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You're really traveling in the wrong direction when you get away from the Trinity. And all of our churches, including the Catholic Church, Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, they believe in the Trinity. Yes. Let us. It doesn't say bless God. And the Lord just didn't pull on his gallows and said, I think I'll just... No, he said, let us. There was a board meeting, and he said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Mankind has been left with dominion authority on this earth over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth on the ground. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God did he create them, male and female. I think we have to say something here. As a studier of the Bible, he made us after his own image, male and female. So somewhere in there, there's something there. I want you to know that. We are not, we do not agree with those who don't like women pastors or teachers or deacons. Our deacons have wives, and they're really deaconesses, and some of them do better than others, and that's up to them, and we're not going to back down on what the truth is. But so God created man in his own image, and the image of God, he created him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. Everybody say, God bless them. Now, thus saith the Lord. This is the title of my message. I want to bless you. It's so hard. We hear so many things. There's so many terrible things going on. And some preachers just talk too much about how bad everything is and not how special God's children are. If you've been born again, if you've been blood bought, you're a child of the Most High God. And you got the most important thing that you can get in this life. You got sonship or daughtership into the kingdom of God. And God is your father. And God hasn't forgotten you, and I don't care what it looks like. God wants to bless each and every one of you. And some blessings and prayers come easy. Some of them come hard. Some of them come fast, and some of them call slow. Little old Kaylee was just in there, and she promised Pastor Kelly she was going to be here to pick up some of these balloons. But she has a headache that's got her almost in tears. I hope she's doing better. But Millie and I just won't pray in there with her. Before you leave, you might want to say something to her. But in verse 28, and God blessed mankind, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, subdue the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And we know as we get into the New Testament, we really see it. Jesus spells it out. We have dominion over every demon and over Satan himself. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In my name, Mark chapter 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, the first thing he mentions is they will cast out devils. That's men and women, moms and dads. They will cast out demons. And if I would say something objectively about the body of Christ at this time, you don't pray it like you mean it, like you believe it. You have to tell them, devils, you're going to obey me. You're coming out of this situation. That's just all there is to it. Shut up and come out in Jesus' name. Jesus told them not to talk when he cast them out. But hear that title again, and I take it from verse 28, and God blessed them. At the beginning, the first humans, God blessed them. He told them to be fruitful, to multiply. He told them, I'm giving you the whole world. And it doesn't look like what it is. Does that mean that you should not study and be careful about your enemy? Because Peter said this, be sober and be vigilant because your enemy, the devil, Satan, is walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can destroy today. He enters in through your head. He enters in through other people, even some that are churchgoers that are pointing out all your faults and failures and trying to have adversity with you. We can't do that. We can't do that and be the body that God wants us to be. You know who we really are? We're those people out here on Wednesday in the heat or the rain or the snow that's handing out food to people. And it's becoming more and more understanding why God had us start this ministry. And you pray because we want to start our manna center, and it will start as soon as it's not us that's holding it back. But they're waiting for the right time. Everything is so high right now. They're wondering about, should we use steel 2x4s or wooden 2x4s? Because one keeps going up and up and up. But it's going to get done. And it's kind of like some of the prayers that some of you have. Don't be discouraged. God is not an evil person. Thus saith the Lord, from the beginning, from Genesis 1:28 and all through the Bible. I have already blessed you, and I want to bless you more. And I want to give you personal blessings also. I'm going to go to one more place in the Bible in the New Living Translation, Psalm 37, and I'm going to read a few verses there. And just go there with me. Psalm 37, wonderful place in the Word. Beginning at verse 1. And I want you to hear this, because this hinders God's people. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. No storm lasts forever. No enemy lasts forever. You keep bucking up against God's kids. See, you're the anointed. There's a warning. Touch not my anointed. I will rebuke anybody that comes against my kids, just like you will. For like grass, they soon fade, the wicked. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. I'm looking at my grass and I'm saying, I've mowed it, I don't know how many times already, but it's starting to get brown. And that ain't making me sad. I mow a lot of grass. Trust in the Lord. Now hear this in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and you will prosper. And you know what? That means your prayers are going to get answered. Every one of your prayers, every heartache that you have, God's going to make it right. God's going to fix it. Verse 4, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. He'll give you, if he can, what's in your heart, as long as it doesn't conflict from the word. Oh, Lord, I just love my best friend's husband. Would you give him to me? See, that ain't going to happen. Now, you can say, can you give me somebody like that? Do you know what you want? Do you know what you're praying for? God wants details. He wants you to remember. In Hebrews 4:16, the word says this, let us enter boldly into the throne room where we can find help when we need it. Boldly. He wants you to come in there like a kid asking for his fifth popsicle of the day. They mean it just as much as the first one. I gave Carson Paul a Reese cup. He didn't want any of the little mini paydays. I said, you want another one? He goes, yeah. I said, do you want another one? He goes, yeah. How many did I give you? Did I give you four? I gave him four altogether. Now, his Aunt Casey, when she was smaller than him, I just had fun with her one day, and I began to give her candy. And I said, do you want some more? She goes, yeah, we were living in Branch at the time. She was about three. I said, do you want any more? Yes. How about now? You still want it? Yeah. I just kept giving her candy until she held her belly and she said, Daddy, why did you give me so much candy? Boy, I got in trouble with Millie. Why did you give me some? And I said, Casey, let's really be careful what we ask for and how much of it we want right now. I think sometimes, like Dorothy, when she told Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. We can ask for something, and we might get something that just a little while later we say, God, why did you give me that? So be patient. Be prayerful about what you really want. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Just this morning, Millie and I, in our time of dedication in the morning, we dedicate ourselves every day to the Lord. We said, Lord, we want to be pleasing to you today. Show us how we can please you today. Show us what would make you happy. You have a right into your hands. We commit our spirit. to correct us, and we want to go your way today. And the day unfolded, and I had an open mind and an open heart with God. Now, some of you know you've got jobs to go to, and you've got things you've got to do. You know that. But then there's parts of your day that you may just say, God, what about this part? What do you want me to do with this part of the day? What could I do that would further our relationship? Verse 5, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. I remember the movie, the animated movie, Aladdin. And he asked, what was the little girl's name? Jasmine. I remember at one point they were trying to escape from somewhere. And he turned to her and he said, do you trust me? And she looked like him like, what? Well, do you trust me? Yeah? Well, give me your hand. I believe that's what God's saying to people tonight. Do you trust me? Do you really trust me? Or are you going to begin to question me and get down and get depressed? God doesn't want you depressed. God loves you and cares about you. You're special. And what you're asking him for is special to him. I want you to know that. He doesn't love anybody more than you. He loved you so much that he blessed you in Genesis chapter 1. And he took it to the limit in the Gospels where he says, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would never perish but have everlasting life. Because the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world but to save the world. How many of you, if sometimes in your life you realize, I need saving. I need help. Amen. Amen. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. Verse 6, he will make your innocence radiant like the dawn. And the justice of your cause, the justice of your cause. Has anybody come in here this evening? You've got causes. There's things that you want to go out right, and you're pretty sure you're right with the Lord on it. And the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper. They seem like they're prospering right now. Or fret about their wicked schemes. And finally, in verse 8, stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. Thus saith the Lord, from the beginning of the Bible to the very end, where he says in the last part of Revelation, there's not going to be any more death where I'm bringing you. No more pain. No more tears. I'm going to wipe away all of your tears. And never again will there will not be a tempter in heaven. Be strong. Hold on. Be patient. And I always think about this here. And I think it for myself and for other people. You know, some of the things we're praying about, it took us quite a while to get our lives that screwed up. And sometimes, now, it does. It takes a little undoing, doesn't it? You know, if you've got 17 knots on your right Nike shoe, God's going to have to sit down with you and look it over and undo it. Undo it. God has his best intentions for each and every one of you. And so do we that are in leadership here. You're special. We care about you. And we want you to prosper and do well. Now what we're going to do, we're going to make an altar or come to the altar and take communion. You don't have to take communion if you don't want to. I would say this. If you can make it to the floor, I believe I would do that. I think, you know, there's a lot saying about being humble. And if you cannot, like people, I'm not expecting Sherry to get on the floor. She's just going to do the best she can, and there's others that can't. But let's examine our hearts, and then let's take communion. And if there's a few items in the kitchen that we can have, let's just get ready to take communion here.